The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. If you missed that last segment, it was T. Gidd from Lafayette, Louisiana. They do things a little bit different down there, and that's why we bring him on every once in a while, because there's many ways to cook ribs and many flavor profiles, and this guy's got food podcasts that he does. He owns grill stores, and he's an absolute master at cooking on a smoker.
He's a wonderful Cajun chef.
Right, exactly.
And his papa was, and his grandpappy was.
Yeah.
So it's a heritage thing with those folks.
Right.
Just like with many of us. I mean, my dad couldn't cook an egg.
No.
But I learned from my mother.
Right.
Most of us up here did. You get down south and into other cultures, like you get into South America, the husbands do all the grilling outside. They do all the barbacoa or whatever they're going to call it.
Yep.
And so it's changing up here. Like I said, both my son-in-laws are big on the grill. My sons are both big on the grill. And thankfully it's changing.
Yeah. Yeah. And the beautiful part about it is it's generally slower way to cook. So you've got time to have conversations.
It's a social sport.
And it's a social sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of the reason why you and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're social.
Right.
You're way more social than me.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm
depends on who you talk
hermit.
To. Yeah.
Basic ribs. I think a lot of people know how to do ribs, but a lot of people maybe have never really paid much attention and want to try it now. They let their wife do it. I don't know who would do that.
Who's backing up off the bus? What's going on here?
Turn your hearing aids up, Conrad. It's coming at you.
All right.
But you know what I'm saying? So what do you think, like, some of the most important things to remember on ribs are?
You know, first and foremost, take them out and let them set on the counter for a couple hours before you want to cook them, because letting them come close to room temperature, you're not going to get bacteria, because you're going to heat them up and you're going to kill all the bacteria. But there's a membrane on the back of the ribs that I like to take off just because it's chewy. And when you get them cooked and you cut them into individual ribs to serve them, that membrane's still on there. And it's just really, really chewy. And it's not, it doesn't add anything to the rib.
No.
It's just part of the anatomy.
Yeah.
So I take
like
that off. But it's
almost
easy.
Like plastic coating.
Right, yeah. And it's on the back of the ribs, the bone side, not the top meaty side. It's on the back. And, you know, you stick a butter knife under the end. And the secret is grab a piece of dry paper towel and grip it, put that in your hand, and grip that piece of membrane, and then you can hang on to it better for whatever reason. It's slippery out of your fingers, but you put a paper towel on it, and you can hang on, and pull it off slowly.
Yeah, and here's something I've probably changed around to. I know a really famous, remember Billy Bones?
Yeah,
well,
right.
His son has a barbecue restaurant that's very successful, does a lot of catering. They don't take the membrane off, and you don't notice it as much as you might think. And especially like if you're in Alabama or you're doing pit on your ribs, or South Carolina, North Carolina, a lot of times they'll do like direct heat for a certain amount of them. And if you're doing that, I think when you're putting them over the direct heat, it's going to really take care of a lot of that problem you had. So I still take it off like you, but I'm just saying if you struggle with that and you forget it, it's not the end of the world.
Well, no, it's not the end of the world. It's just preferable for me to have that off of there. And it comes off, the point I was making is it comes off when the ribs are not ice cold, but when they're warmed up a little bit, it comes off a lot
easier.
You want
that membrane to warm up a little bit.
Yeah,
more elastic.
That's all.
What you'll notice is the plants that process these hogs, a lot of times, based on how their boners or the guys that are cutting these things up are doing their job, they'll have made slices in that membrane. So you know you're trying to get it all one tacked and
right.
One piece, but there's a couple cuts made in it now, and it's too frustrating.
Yeah, it is, because it comes off partially, but not entirely.
So T. Gidd said slather it up with mustard, and you know I used to do that too because that's how I was trained. When I went out to Kansas City, everything was done the same way. And I you know, always use mustard. I don't know if it's laziness or maybe being ambivalent to it.
So
I don't necessarily worry about that anymore.
So let me back up a little bit. The reason for mustard is what? Why are you slathering it with mustard?
It's supposed to make your seasoning stick to it. But if your meat's all wet, I don't find the seasoning having trouble sticking.
Right. I don't either. So if I take them out of the package, and I usually rinse them because there's a there's a little pork slime on there, and I'll just run them under cold water for 10 seconds.
Because they're filthy animals.
On each side just to get them up. But if it's – and then I set them on a rack and let them dry out a little bit. But there's moisture on that meat. I don't generally have problems with seasoning sticking. The mustard is glue, right? More than you're looking for a mustard flavor. Some people say, well, there's vinegar in it, so therefore it might tenderize. Yeah. I don't think there's enough of it on there to do any of that.
I don't know what it does, but it probably has some positive effect. Again, I think this comes from the original barbecue. Well, who knows what that is? There's arguments about that. But one of the original areas for barbecue is the Carolinas, and the German population there used mustard for everything. And I think when they were doing their barbecue, they would, of course, want to slather mustard on it and then their salt and pepper,
right,
whatever else they did. The South Carolina barbecue sauce is largely a yellow sauce.
Right, yep.
And that's what T-Gid was talking about. He said it was a little different, but when you see yellow, it's mustard. So I'm not saying I don't ever use mustard. It depends on how lazy I feel.
Right. So
we're going to beat mustard to death. I'm sorry for that.
No, so after you put the mustard and then you coat it with, and I use a pretty liberal amount of seasoning, and the flavor profile, we talked about the sticky ribs with the butter and the honey. If you just got a really nice quality barbecue rub, you know that the Cajun that T-Gid was talking about doesn't have a lot of heat. It's got a little, but not a lot. There's other ones
more
that
than some people might want on ribs.
Yeah, but there's a lot hotter ones out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so,
yeah.
But then you've got the sweet side, right? Which is it's going to have some brown sugar or some other type of sugar in it, and those with your paprikas and your garlics and salt is in every rub, you know. So that combination, I think that the rib has its own flavor and you're coating it. It doesn't really ever like sink in much, especially if you put the mustard on.
And some people will like do their, if they're really fanatical about it, they'll rub their ribs and wrap them in plastic and throw them in the fridge overnight.
Right. Right.
I'm not that fanatical. I don't want too much spice on anything I make.
Mm-hmm.
I want to taste like, if I'm doing brisket, I'm a fanatic about brisket, right? If I'm doing brisket, there's a certain thing I'm going to do and, you know, go on down the line. And it's just the way I like it. You cook the way you like.
Right.
But if you're doing ribs and you want to know how to, let's say you didn't get to the right shop. You didn't get to Sobeys or Garrett's and get your best favorite rub and you want to just make one up. It's too easy. It's too easy. Don't overthink it. And pink Himalayan sea salt, organic cane. I buy from Costco when I see Stan, these big bags of organic white cane sugar. It's not bleached, and it's really big.
It's like tan.
Yeah, and it's kind of big chunks. I'm just saying it's not real fine, and I find it nice to work with. And then you can throw a little onion powder, a bunch of paprika.
Garlic.
And garlic powder.
Right.
Or garlic, you can do.
Stay away from the garlic salt if you're using other salt. You don't want too much salt.
But I use a lot of that sugar on ribs.
Yeah.
And because I'm not going to do a sticky rib and I'm not going to do the honey and all that stuff.
Right.
I'm going to make them ready for anybody. Some people don't want the sauce on. They want a dry rub.
Right.
But I lean towards that Memphis profile
than anything. And the beautiful part about it is that a rib is so big, you could actually do a couple, you know, split it in half, do seasoning on one end and the other if you wanted to. Or if you're like me, just make an extra rack.
Yeah.
Right? And do them a couple ways. But anyway, we're going to continue down this rib road. Say that three times fast. and we're going to talk a little bit more about hows and whys and then Baby Backs versus St. Louis.
I think that could be a country song.
That's right. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.